Litcast Slovakia, the podcast about Slovak literature in English. Welcome to Litcast Slovakia. I'm Julia Sherwood, and my guest in today's 17th episode of the podcast is Mária Mudrovič. Mária is a Slovak writer, the author of 4 books of fiction. Her collection, Flashback, was a finalist for the Anasoft Litera Award in 2018 and was also nominated for the European Union Prize for Literature in 2019. Mária co-organizes the International Literary Festival Novotvar, held annually in Bratislava, and she is the editor of the website Books from Slovakia. Hello, Mária. Welcome to Litcast Slovakia.
Hi, Julia. Thank you for having me.
Earlier this year, you took over as editor of Books from Slovakia, which is the English language website of the Information Center for Literature, Literárne informačné centrum, or LIC in Slovak, the agency responsible for promoting Slovak literature abroad. It represents Slovak writers at international book fairs, administers the translation grant scheme Slolia, and issues various publications, and it is also the producer of these podcasts. Over the past few years, LIC has given its Slovak website a makeover, and it now has a visually more interesting and user-friendly look. And the new revamped version of the English site was launched earlier this year, and it too is a great improvement on the earlier one. Could you tell us what its main goals and target audience are, and also why its name, Books from Slovakia, is different from the mother site?
The name Books from Slovakia is borrowed from our Anglophone catalogue, a showcase of sorts, which LIC uses as its main promotional tool at book fairs and in contact with publishers in general. It is a selection of around 10 Slovak titles, which are published any given year, and it is chosen by a team of experts here at LIC. These books are picked based on their literary qualities as well as on their export potential. Books from Slovakia is a brand which has worked well for many years, and it expresses its content in a straightforward way. That's why the people here at LIC thought it would work well. Since the launch of the English website has a similar goal, it should promote and inform about Slovak authors and their works, it had been decided to use this user-friendly and easy-to-remember name. All in all, we could say that the new website should offer its visitors a reliable tool to navigate the waters of Slovak literature, whether someone wants to look up a particular author or publication or to check out the latest news from the Slovak literary world.
I assume that you took on this post before the pandemic broke out, so the new reality we have found ourselves in this year has probably affected the plans for the site. Did you have to make many changes to the original concept? And also, looking back, how do you feel about what you and your team were able to achieve in the first year?
Well, I feel like we didn't have to compromise too much with the website. If anything, the pandemic pushed us toward an even more focused effort to launch the site and to get its content ready as fast as possible, as it was becoming clear that online was the place where most of the literary life would take place. With major book fairs and events cancelled or limited to an online version, it became clear that the English website was a tool we desperately needed to have at hand. And during my first year, and well before that too, Sonia Urikova was responsible for the actual launch of the website, the communication with the IT company that set it up for us. I think this gargantuan task to act as a mediator of sorts between the IT crowd and the LIC team was on her shoulders mostly. And then there's Barbara Nemeth, who took over after Katarina Kuzbelova had left last January. So I have been working with her after I had translated into English the profiles of authors which Katarina and her team originally, together with Mirka Valova, our director, had selected about a year ago. And since then, it had basically been about getting the selected profiles ready, then translating annotations of selected works by these authors, plus preparing other web content, interviews, articles, and so on. Looking back, we have done quite a bit over the first year, and when we take into account that we started almost from zero.
Well, certainly have populated the website, and I know how much work that is because the process that you described is very similar to what Magdalena Molek and I went through on a much smaller scale with our website,
I can imagine.
slovakliterature.com. And
It has been a great source of inspiration, by the way, your
oh, thank you, thank
website.
you. So, what are your plans for the future development of the site in terms both of content and structure? Will you be planning to highlight particular authors or genres or introduce any other features?
Yes, and a new feature that we planned for 2021 is an online version of the eponymous Books from Slovakia catalog. We want it to be informative, impeccable design-wise, and interactive in the sense that it would allow a visitor of the website to sort of leaf through the content of the online catalog as if it were sneaking a peek into a book.
In addition to running Books from Slovakia, you actually are one of the highlighted authors there. And your bio on the website says that writing has been in part informed by your stays abroad and by the ambiguity of existing between two places. And for example, you wrote op-ed columns for Slovak newspapers during your stay in New York City. So, can you talk a little bit about the kinds of subjects you covered in your journalism while you were based there? And also, has your stay in New York City shaped or inspired your literary work in any way?
Well, when I was there, my columns were mostly everyday sketches of New York. But I was mostly writing about literary readings that I went to and about other cultural events that I attended and that for me were enjoyable and interesting and then turned out to be, interesting for Slovak readers as well. So that was my, those were my op-ed columns. And when it comes to my prose, I guess the first two books were heavily informed by my life in New York, perhaps, as you mentioned, in particular by the modern, non-politically driven immigration experience when a person is operating between two homes and living between two homes, sort of physically and most of all mentally. So that was that. That's I think that those are the topics that I sort of went around.
So, with these first two books, you were part of this subgenre of Slovak literature, of expat literature.
Yes.
But then you moved on from there. So, could you just tell us a little bit more about the kind of genre or form or style of your writing in general?
Well, I guess we could say I write literary fiction, and people have said that about my writing that the crucial things, remain unsaid. That I often rather hint at a plot or at an arc than build it up properly. So maybe we could say that the main things are left unsaid. And my last two books consist of shorter texts that are interwoven and interconnected, and they are, again, they are neither short stories collection or nor there are there novels in a traditional sense. And the main reason for the form, for Flashback was the fact that I was writing during my maternity leave, and I didn't have too much time. I didn't have the luxury of a generous time frame for writing continuously over longer stretches of time. So I made use of what was at hand. And with Interview of a Cult Member, my most recent book, the form sort of materialized on its own. It was not a matter of a rational decision or too much speculation. Once I wrote the first interview, which I wrote as a short story for a magazine, I realized I was having too much fun to abandon the topic and the form as well, so I just continued.
I just wanted to go back a little bit to New York City because the world there is literary world is quite tough, and I was wondering what it was like for a budding Slovak writer to try and fit in, and how much interest or knowledge of Slovak literature did you find among the reading public and critics?
Well, it's the scene is very exciting and very tough to enter at the same time. And I was extremely naive when I went to New York and thought that paying for a continuing studies course in creative writing at NYU would be like a gate opener into the literary world. But what was perhaps best within this experience of mine was meeting the people that I have met, and it was quite intriguing to watch some writers with whom I have, you know, shared the occasional stage at a reading, rise to a quasi-fame, and it was equally interesting to see people from the literary world who have been on the scene for decades go down unexpectedly and irrevocably. So then, of course, there were many people floating somewhere in between these two extremes, and they were, you know, at a certain level writing for fun and not stressing it too much, which I guess is a good position to be in. It allows for a certain freedom, and although, of course, it is much better to be able to work as a writer. And when it comes to interest, I have to admit, I have not come across people who were interested in Slovak literature per se. People were interested, always on the lookout for great writing, but they didn't necessarily care where it came from. So it was not, you know, it was not a matter of, yo, you're from Slovakia, I want to read your stories because you are from there. It didn't really work like that. I don't know if it didn't work like that because Slovakia was not interesting as a literary country, or just because it's not interesting in that way through, you know, through a national sort of connection. So, but like I said, you know, Slovak literature didn't really have a name to itself when I lived there, but that was 10 years ago. So since then, the US and the UK have had many publishing houses publish Slovak authors in translation. Many of these translations were yours and your husband's. So, you know, you really seem to be the great living champion of Slovak literature abroad, and I'm sure the English speaking audience will find their way to Slovak authors and their works.
Well, thank you for the compliment, but there's still an awful lot to do.
There is. It's a never ending task.
So to come back to your book, Rozhovor s členkou kultu, interview with a cult member. I'd love to hear a little bit more about the inspiration behind it. So I only read the beginning so far, but what struck me immediately was that it reminded me of the mock interviews in David Foster Wallace's brief interviews with hideous men. So I wonder if that's a coincidence. And also, your book is set among women who have joined a kind of sect or cult, similar to the place where one of the characters of Bernardine Evaristo's Girl, Woman, Other ends up. And her book, for which she won the Booker Prize, was published in the same year as yours. So clearly that was a coincidence rather than an inspiration. But I just wonder if there is something in the air about these sects, or did something like that actually occur in Slovakia?
Well, I haven't read Evaristo's book yet, but I can wait. And there's also a book by the Czech writer Petra Hulova that people had recommended to me, but I haven't read that either. But I guess there really is something in the air. Well, I mean, the form of my book, these fake short interviews in which we don't read the journalists' questions but only the answers to them, is indeed borrowed from David Foster Wallace's collection of stories. His brief interviews with hideous men was quite a big thing when I was reading it, and the book stayed with me for a long time after I had read it, and it was, you know, it was years ago, it was maybe 15 years ago, I don't remember exactly. Then a couple of years back, I met a man who told me his life story, and he said that his girlfriend abandoned him to go live in an all-female community. And this piece of information was really astounding to me, and it really stirred something up. And so I started picturing the community, and I started even snooping around a little bit. But I quickly gave it up because I realized these women had a right to, you know, to live their life as they pleased. And I also did not want to be tied down by reality. I wanted to create my own community of fictional women, and be able to ponder why women would, you know, leave their quote unquote normal existence behind and go live among other women only. And lastly, I remembered Top of the Lake, the phenomenal short series by Jane Campion, where Holly Hunter plays a sort of anti-guru or guru. She's a character inspired by the Indian, well, anti-philosopher Yuji Krishnamurti, who Campion cited in an interview as a friend and as one of the last truly free people. And I remember that the side story of the community of runaway women interested me more than the main plot of the series. And all of these factors sort of came together when I began working on my book. So, you know, I have predominantly written about female characters who are sort of on edge. I'm always interested in that point where things could go wrong and whether they will go wrong or not.
So your earlier book, the collection Flashback, or Flashback in Slovak, was was a final.
It's a hybrid.
Yes, was a finalist for Slovakia's most prestigious literary prize, Anna Soft Litera. What did it mean for you to be shortlisted, and how important do you think literary prizes of this kind are for writers and for introducing their work to general public?
Well, I remember I was very happy when I found out I was in the final 10, and I believe that the year I was nominated was the first year when they introduced the top five finalists. So when I got into the last five finalists, I was really happy. I really remember that moment. It didn't last long, as these things probably never do, but it was a very happy moment for me. I mean, Anna Soft Litera is no doubt, you know, the most prestigious fiction award in Slovakia. So, yes, it was a big deal to me to be there in the top five. And I can't really speak for all the literary prizes, but this one has had the ability to highlight the work of the featured authors, which I think is great. And yes, it sorely needs to be done. It needs to be promoted because, as you know, it's very different on a market that has a large audience, but here in Slovakia the literary market is not that big, and the market for you know, literary writing is even smaller. So this is something that really needs to be done, and it is a great way to highlight these authors, I think.
Certainly, I really feel that Anna Soft Litera has helped raise the profile of literary writing, so it really is great that it exists.
And it really installed, I think, some names on, you know, on the scene.
Yes, and it's really wonderful to see that there, for a while, there is sustained focus on writers who don't normally get so much space in the media, unlike genre fiction, for example. And
exactly.
So you know this side of the literary business from the other side as well, because you've served on the panel for a couple of literary competitions. So can you talk a little bit about the prizes you have judged and tell us a little bit more about them?
Sure. I have judged, I think, for three consecutive years, the National Short Story Competition, which is held by the publisher Koloman Kertész Bagala. And it's called eponymously Povietka, short story. And I view, for me, it was a pleasant way to give back, as this competition was where I sort of started literally. I was one of the finalists, one of the awarded finalists in, I think it was 2010. And my story being in the anthology of that year led to an offered contract, and to, you know, to Kali offered me offered to publish my first book, Luen Mira. And it sure is hard work to read through all of the entries, but it's also a lot of fun. I have served on the panel with Pavel Ranko, and he was very pleased when I called him this year too. He's one of the few who is really looking forward to this, you know, judging work. And I do think it's good to be on the other side, to see it from there, to see potential, and to be able to discuss and debate the finalists with, you know, within the circle of, with the fellow judges. And aside from Povietka, I also served on the panel of Medziriadki, which is a competition for students of elementary schools, high schools, and university students as well. And this was perhaps even more challenging because we were judging three separate categories. However, reading aspiring young authors, especially the young children, has a very rewarding element to it. And the Medziriadki competition is special even in a way because it offers its finalists a week-long stay with workshops led by the judges and other literary professionals. And I really do think this is special for someone who is just starting out, being able to, you know, to talk to living authors to sort of get a foot in the world of literature. So I think that's great.
Yes, I imagine it must be really for a young budding writer a fantastic opportunity. Apart from these competitions, these days writers really have to be performers as well, and appearances at literary festivals have become the bread and butter of the work. And in Slovakia, there are so many festivals, it's sometimes impossible to keep track of them all over the country and throughout the year. And each has its own particular slant. And just last week, you took part in a festival I had never heard of before called Ipsalon in Trnava. So did you enjoy your appearance there? And it actually had to be virtual. And also, which are your favorite festivals in Slovakia and why?
Ipsilon was very charming, I have to say. It was held in Mali, Berlin, which is something of a hip cultural hub in Trnava. It was very professionally prepared and they had a really great lineup of authors. Like you said, unfortunately, the attendance of people was limited, so we streamed online. And I do hope the streams find their viewers. For me, it was not that much different, you know, to talk in front of a camera rather than having a live audience than I thought it would be. The lovely people from the festival, I guess, were responsible for the fact that I felt completely at ease. When it comes to festivals, I have to admit that I'm very partial. I really do have to say Novotvar is my favorite festival of them all.
Okay, and let's talk about Novotvar then. So you are actually on the organizing team.
Exactly.
So can you introduce this festival a little bit?
Sure, I would love to. Well, as far as I know, Novotvar is the love child of the writer Peter Šulej, who is also my publisher and the editor-in-chief of the Arts and Culture Review Vlna, and of the young poet Michal Talo. Originally, I think it was these two. And pretty soon, the poets Maria Ferenčuhová, who I think was on the podcast before, and Peter Breznian joined the team. And maybe they were even there at the very beginning. I'm not sure about this. And so I have been involved in the last two editions of the festivals. Of the festival, I came aboard last year. Novotvar is an international literary festival of both poetry and prose, and we try to put together a lineup of authors who we find innovative, new, or you know, original in any way. The focus really is on the actual readings and performances. There is not too many, you know, discussions or debates. I mean, there is other program, there are performances of other artistic genres, but really the main focus is on the actual readings. So this is a hardcore literary festival, so to speak. We never really spoke about it like this, about, you know, what is the festival, what it's supposed to be, at least not while I was there. I'm sure they have had these discussions before. But I feel that Novotvar is the kind of festival that we want to be interesting for the public as well as for the authors. It's the kind of festival that we, all of us authors, would want to attend to be able to find ourselves, you know, immersed among writers from various corners of the world and at various stages of their careers and with various artistic approaches, but everyone doing their thing, focused and in their distinctive voice. And of course, This year, everything kept changing because of Corona. At different moments in time, we struggled with different questions. First, we weren't sure if the festival was happening at all, then whether it would happen within the dates that we had set up, whether we should try to postpone it or not. Then when it became clear that we would make it in the last minute before the country went into a semi-lockdown, when gatherings would be absolutely prohibited, we weren't sure which authors from which countries would be able to attend. And these variables kept changing and challenging us. So some of the authors who couldn't or wouldn't come attended via live video calls, but most of our writers surprisingly made it to Bratislava, which was unbelievable in a way. And in the end, I have to say Novotvar 2020 was a blast. It had a certain magical aspect to it that is hard to pinpoint, but I think everyone so much enjoyed being able just to be there, to be able to perform after a longer hiatus from being able to do these things, and to be able to hear great writing live, and to be able just to get together and talk. That despite all difficulties and compromises, it was a really successful edition, I think.
So I don't know if you started planning the participation of guests for next year yet, and who you are thinking of inviting, or who you would dream of seeing there as a writer.
We are always thinking about the writers that we want to have at Novotvar, and some of the writers that we have been debating for this year were not able to attend. So we have a few people in our minds that we will try to get here through their agents or through them personally. I did see many of my favorite authors live in New York, so I sort of have a lot of these boxes ticked off, but some of them I would really like to see again, and ideally at Novotvar. I really don't want to name any names so that I don't jinx any preparations or pre-talks. To have been able to have Anne Carson with her husband Bob Carey last year as our guests, that was definitely a dream come true for me, I have to say. It was something that really, it just started out as a dream, and to have that materialized at Novotvar, it was a big thing. It was a big deal.
Yeah, that is amazing, really. Yes, that's quite a coup.
It is.
So let's come back before we finish to Slovak literature, which this podcast really should be about. And so which of the works that are available in English would you recommend to our listeners, and why? And where do you see the biggest gap in terms of translations into English? Are there any authors or specific books that you think Anglophone readers have been missing out on?
I really wouldn't dare pick a couple of names, and I do think it's impossible to say, really, because I believe that all readers have their own unique literary tastes, and ideally they should get acquainted with all of the Slovak books that are available in English translation, and I think they should read the annotations, or ideally leaf through a couple of pages, either physically or electronically. I'm sure the catalog that we are putting together, and that will be online probably in January, February, will help do that. And they should, people should decide for themselves which particular books or authors strike them as interesting. I think this is what literature is about, that you sort of happen upon authors that you normally wouldn't dream of reading, and something intrigues you. And I think this is part of the magic of literature. And definitely Slovak literature has a lot to offer. And when it starts to be read more widely, I'm sure the selection of translated authors will also grow. So I really think it's now equally in the hands of the Anglophone readers to do their share of work.
Okay, so your message, read Slovak writers, all of them.
Yes. Or, get acquainted with all of them, and because there's not hundreds of them who are translated into English, and we're speaking of a relatively small number. I mean, it's not small for us from our point of view. It's a fair amount. but among all the books of the world, it's not a huge number. So I think it's still possible to sort of get an overview and choose from there.
Yes, it definitely is a doable task.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for your time and for coming on the podcast. And I look forward to working with you through Books from Slovakia and in other ways.
Thank you, Julia. Thank you for having me, and thank you for this lovely talk.
Thank you, and bye.
Bye.